Should we, what would the board like to do? Is the board? Okay, so hold the board questions for staff. Okay, folks, so we'll break for lunch and we will reconvene at 1 o'clock. And please get your speaker cards to us as soon as possible.
Gang, if you could please halt your conversations, even if you're not in your seats yet, so we can move on. I'm going to read down the list of the folks who have more time allotted to them, the organizations that I mentioned earlier today that have blocks of time allocated to them. And even if you're not one of those people, you might be interested in listening to hear what we have on the docket. Okay, so here's the list, and I'll mention the number of minutes that people are allocated. Monterey Coast Keeper, 15 minutes. Santa Barbara Channel Keeper, 12 minutes. Dipti Bhatnagar from the Environmental Justice Clean Water Group, 10 minutes. And then Horatio of the Environmental Justice Clean Water Group, 15 minutes. Nathan Alley of the Environmental Defense Center, 5 minutes. Richard Quant, Grower Shippers, 3 minutes.
He's part of a coordinated presentation, and that's why.
And as far as that coordinated presentation, to balance the table here, the Multi-Ag Association, 100 minutes. The OSR, I'll just say PPPL, or Law Group, which is also an agricultural presentation, 8 minutes. Sustainable Economy or Cause, 5 minutes. LaVon Stone, Fort Ord Environmental Justice Network, 5 minutes. And those are all the approvals that I have listed.
Okay, and I have two cards that I'm going to ask if these people would like to speak now. One is Piper Riley. She needs to leave early for something related to child care. Would you like to speak now? Okay, and then the other speaker is Debbie Arnold, Assemblyman Sam Blakesley's office. Would you like to speak at this time, or did you want to?
She's over there.
Wait.
She's got the podium, and also Charlie.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Riley.
Thank you, Chairman Young. I am Piper Riley, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Surfrider Foundation of San Luis Bay chapter. Thank you for this opportunity. An important component of the Surfrider Foundation mission is the improvement of coastal water quality. Many of our members are coastal recreators, some of whom come in contact with coastal waters on a daily basis. To protect the environment and the people on the coast, and really to protect the natural and human resources needed to sustain agriculture, we need to prevent the pollution of our coastal waters to the maximum extent, which means we need to all hold dischargers accountable to compliance with established water quality standards. Surfrider appreciates the Ag Waiver role as a tool to work towards this objective. For the waiver to result in meaningful pollution prevention, we feel the following components must be incorporated as proposed in staff's recommendation. The waiver must establish clear, discrete water quality objectives, numeric water quality objectives, eliminate uncertainty as to what the compliance and informance standards are, which is better for everyone working to meet those objectives. Secondly, the waiver must require water quality monitoring on individual farms, and water quality data should be publicly accessible. It is impossible, to solve a problem that is not defined. Monitoring on individual farms will allow specific problem areas to be identified and addressed on a case-to-case basis, as opposed to a broad brush attempt by stream farms to respond to downstream water quality problems. Such broad approaches are inefficient and ineffective, especially when it comes to meeting numerical objectives. In regards to submitting water quality data to the regional board and, in effect, making water quality monitoring data accessible to the public, we feel that it is a really important issue is that we have transparency, which will eliminate and help with compliance. If water quality data is site-specific, there is a greater stake for an individual farmer to comply with water quality standards. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Ms. Arnold? And then the next speaker will be the State Water Board Chair, Charlie Hoppen.
Thank you. Debbie Arnold, representing Assemblyman Sam Blakesley. Regional Water Quality Control Board members and fellow residents of the Central Coast, I appreciate the willingness of the board to convene this public workshop regarding the preliminary draft staff recommendations for an updated agricultural order. Today's discussion is of critical importance to all of the Central Coast as we explore how to improve water quality while maintaining a healthy agricultural community. Central Coast farmers have a proven track record and lead the state in developing and integrating best management practices that protect water quality. In good faith, local agriculturists worked collaboratively with this board in 2004 to develop the current conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements. They took ownership of the education and monitoring program and made great investments in ensuring its success. Local agriculture has continued this collaboration and even stepped forward to propose an updated plan in the form of an alternative to your staff's recommendations. The question is not whether to protect water quality, but how to protect water quality. With California's unemployment reaching record levels and our state's economic recovery trailing the rest of the nation, it's imperative that regulators reject heavy-handed approaches which alienate stakeholders and make it more difficult to achieve the buy-in of the regulated entity. Regulations developed in collaboration with the regulated entity and that take advantage of industry's insights and expertise are far more likely to achieve meaningful compliance as opposed to regulations that are promulgated in an environment of hostility. I'm particularly troubled by the proposed heavy-handed approach as it appears a counterproductive and divisive overreach and reflects an unnecessarily dismissive attitude toward the concerns and thoughtful alternatives put forward by the agricultural community. A wholesale rejection of concerns about the economic and job impacts of proposed regulations is not in the best interest of a long-term partnership and certainly unhelpful in protecting the economic viability of our rural community. A sustainable environment is interdependent with a strong economy. It is our responsibility as lawmakers and regulators to recognize the consequences of implementing new policies and to proceed judiciously. These dire economic times remind us that economic prosperity and responsible resource stewardship are mutually reinforcing. Economic strength facilitates the incorporation of advanced technologies and innovative management practices necessary to produce our clean water goals.
Can you wrap it up, please?
Yes. Do you want me to stop or finish the assemblyman's message?
Two sentences?
Oh, I've got two paragraphs? What do you think?
It's almost 3 minutes. You asked for 2.5. I gave you almost 3. So just a couple of sentences. Everyone is going to want to say more than we have a lot of time for.
I'd be glad to. This was a statement by the assemblyman, and I'll just let him know where we stopped, and I'll leave it for you to put into the record if that's how we'll handle it.
Okay, fine.
Okay. There's more to this, but as rulemakers, we have a duty to aggressively seek and develop options that achieve our goals. I strongly urge your board to return to the precedent set in 2004 of treating the agricultural community as partners in this effort to improve the water quality of the Central Coast. Sincerely, Assemblyman Sam Blakesley. And I'll hand this.
Okay. Thank you very much. Folks, I would appreciate it if we would have no clapping. And the reason is this isn't a contest. It's not an athletic event. There are people that have passions on both sides of this, and I would appreciate it if we would just not inject that into the process. Thank you.
And Mr. Young, with that being said, I don't have a script, so when I get close to my allotted time, if you would just kind of wave your hand, I'll wind it up. Thank you, Board Chair Young and board members. I'm Charlie Hoppen, Chairman of the State Water Resources Control Board. For those of you in the audience who unfortunately I am not facing, before I came to the Water Board, I was a farmer. When I look at myself in the mirror in the morning, I see a farmer, and when they finally run me out of the Water Board, I will continue to be a farmer. My family operates under two distinct discharge waivers. We operate under the Central Valley waiver. We operate under the rice-specific waiver. The rice-specific waiver is an issue that reminds me of what all of you were going through here. We had, as an industry in the 90s, serious problems with some of our herbicides. We didn't wait for the regional board to tell us what to do. We were faced with losing those herbicides. But the industry came together with the regulators, the regional board, the Department of Pesticide Registration, the county ag commissioners, and the registrants. We figured out cultural practices to allow us to continue using our product. It's been very successful. We use the results from that waiver every day to manage our cultural practices and make sure that our cultural practices aren't causing problems, particularly in the Sacramento River. That being said, it's not the place of the state board, or certainly myself, to direct any of you on the board as to how you go about this process. Certainly you are independent of that, and it's not our purview. What I would encourage certainly the growers and the others in the audience to do is to come together, instead of just standing up and complaining about something you don't like, figure out a way to make it work. The board has no discretion as far as ignoring high nitrate levels in drinking water and other things. The Clean Water Act, you know, it empowers them to do that and it requires them to do that. But as in so many regulations, the course between the regulation or the policy and its successful implementation is the difference between success and failure. And I continue to believe, and I know things are a little bit strained at the moment, but if all of you will work together, not just the farmers, but the NGOs, we've had two policies the State Board has passed in the last 6 months that were doomed to absolute failure. And if it had not been for unlikely groups of environmentalists, agriculturalists, and other stakeholders coming together and coming up with a solution, we wouldn't have functional products. But we have two just in the last 6 months that we have done through that process. So my point in being here today is to encourage all of you to work together, put your differences aside, and try and get this resolved. And it's an important issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there's anyone who has submitted a speaker card and who thinks they're going to have a time constraint as we get on towards the later of the day when we're going to actually get to the speaker cards, if anyone feels that they may need to leave here early and may be afraid of missing their chance to speak, I'd invite you to come up right now and I'll take you out of order. Okay, so we're all in it for the long haul this afternoon. Okay, Mr. Briggs, let's start then with
Monterey Coast Keeper.
Yes.
Can I walk
here? Sure.
Let's see, let me figure out where it is. There it is. All right, so,
we need to toggle the F6 or whatever it is.
F6?
Well, I'm not sure about that.
F7?
Do we hear an F8?
Option F7. That's still not doing it. F4.
There we are. All right.
Yeah.
You're on.
Hang on.
You're off.
All right, thank you. All right, my name is Steve Schimmick. I represent Monterey Coast Keeper, and I'm here to talk to with you today about the agricultural waiver and the staff proposal and the process leading to it. But I'm also talking to you about the alternatives and the variety of alternatives that are in front of you. I actually tried to, this is going to come across as a little bit academic, because I tried to find a framework to actually compare all the different alternatives, including both the old waiver and the draft waiver. And although I won't go into terrible detail in the comparison, what I will be talking about is our alternative specifically and how it compares against the others. So our alternative was created by Monterey Coast Keeper, Environmental Defense Center of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. Signing on were the Ocean Conservancy and Surf Rider Santa Barbara. And so here we go. First of all, I know that there's probably some people that will have a problem with this statement, but we think that the staff did a terrific job. We think that the staff did exactly what the staff was supposed to do. They brought people together in December 2008 for an agricultural stakeholders panel, and we met for one full day for a year. And when we could not find agreement, and the staff warned us in the very beginning that if this group couldn't find agreement, they would put together a proposal themselves. They did. That was their job. They stated what their job was at the outset. So we think that they were predictable, and we think that they did what they were supposed to do. Within that agricultural stakeholder panel, there was some common ground. And that common ground was that there was, and I don't want to express this as consensus, but the common ground that I saw was that there was a focus on dischargers with tailwater. There was a focus on dischargers in subwatersheds with impairments. There was a common understanding of the value of individual monitoring, although there was not consensus, and in fact there was dissent over the idea of reporting those monitoring results. But I think one of the statements in the ag panel that pretty much a lot of people embraced was that everybody should know what's in their discharge. That was embraced. There was agreement that toxicity was more easily addressed than nitrate pollution, and there was agreement that nitrate groundwater pollution was going to be tough. It was going to take a long time. And there was agreement that growers did not want one-size-fits-all management practices dictated to them, and there was also agreement that the regional board needs to enforce the order. Excuse me. You've seen this slide already. This is the regional water quality index. And as you can see, really, there's a lot of areas there that are actually in pretty good shape and not in terrible shape. It's the dark red areas, really, that we're talking about. But I think that what this shows us is actually there's another way to think of this whole thing, and that's as an opportunity. There's an opportunity for all those ag folks that are not in the seriously impaired areas to show that they're doing the right thing with individual monitoring and show that they don't need to be as tightly regulated as the people in those bright red areas. So I see the ag waiver and individual monitoring as a way to get out of regulation. I don't see it as a way to get in. This is the toxicity index, and again, you can see that the problem areas are just about the same. Lower Santa Maria and Lower Salinas. So what are the problems? The problems are tailwater, and when we talk about tailwater, we're talking about problems with contaminants and with toxicity. Groundwater, we're talking about contaminants again, mostly nitrate. Stormwater, we're talking about sediment. Aquatic life, we're talking about and riparian habitat, we're talking about the need for protections and buffers to benefit water quality. And so what I'm doing here is I'm suggesting that these are across the top of a comparison program. So this is the x-axis here. Think of it that way, and you're about to see that. Then you add to that what's required both in the law, as I understand it, and just in common sense. In other words, what are the components of a waiver program? There should be standards. There should be a timeline and a schedule. And there should be monitoring. And I want to add to that and again, I think that this is something that you'll hear from a number of people. There should be a tier structure. A tier structure meaning, you know, where are we going to focus our attention first? What's the worst area? You know, how do we get people to opt out as well as, or not opt out, but prove their way out of regulation? And where do we find people that really need to do a better job? So this is an example, and it's kind of tough to read. So this is a comparison on the two rows are the 2004 Ag Order and the 2010 Draft Order. And then across the top, you've got an example of what I just said. For tailwater, and in taking specifically the idea for contaminants, you've got, okay, what's the comparison between these things for standards, for timeline, for monitoring, and for tiering? And you just basically answer these questions for every single alternative that there is, whether it be the Farm Bureau alternative, whether it be our alternative, and the 2000 Ag Order and the 2010 Draft Order. And you don't have to read the words here, but I think that the message of these first sets of slides is the fact that the 2004 Ag Order is pretty coarse-grained. And when you look at it in comparison to the 2010 order, the density, in other words, the completeness of the 2010 order is really remarkable. In other words, where the 2004 order, the standards are basically a narrative, basically saying you shall not pollute, where in the 2010 order, it's specific numeric standards. People will know what the numbers that they have to hit are, and that's really important. I could find no real timeline in the 2004 order, yet there are specific timelines in the 2010 draft. Monitoring, it's on a sub-watershed level in the 2004, and there's specific timelines within the 2010 order. So this is just kind of, you can see how dense this is. It just continues across. When you get to groundwater, really there's nothing in there. There's a narrative statement, but there's nothing in there in the 2004 order. In the 2010, there's a lot more detail. In other words, again, the 2010 draft order covers a lot more material. Same thing with stormwater. Same thing with aquatic life and aquatic vegetation. There's very little said in the 2004 Ag Order. People like that. There's quite a bit said in the 2010 order. People don't like that. So now you get to what does our proposal say? What does the Monterey Coast Keeper Ocean Conservancy proposal say? Basically, when it comes to the staff provisions, and the staff provisions are just those general things about you shall enroll. Well, we agree. People should enroll, okay? But now let's look at the tailwater. And this is basically, I do have a handout for you. So again, I'll highlight some things here. You don't necessarily have to read it. I will give it to you. But on tailwater, basically we support the staff proposal, but we also are suggesting that there needs to be a little bit more work done on the biostimulatory nitrate objective. We're also saying that there's kind of an asterisk thing going on in the tables of your stuff where double star means that it applies to the discharge, not double star means that it's only the receiving water. And there's some places where it seems that there's typographic errors, or we just need more explanation. We also saw that there was a flip-flopping in discussion of fecal coliform and E. coli. It wasn't clear in the draft order, and it needs to be made clear. As far as the timeline, we support the draft proposal. Monitoring, we generally support the draft proposal, but we also point out that the methodology in the that isn't really spelled out, but that has been used in the past for dissolved oxygen is seriously flawed and leads to poor conclusions. There's also kind of a legalese thing in that there's the draft order uses some terminology such as sampling and such as monitoring, and it's actually our understanding that sampling in a legal sense does not necessarily have to be reported, where monitoring does. So these are the conditions we're facing. We have waters that are just covered with green, we have bare stream banks, and we have crops planted right up to the borders. Toxicity, this is where we have some fairly serious problems with the proposal. We support the standards, but then when it comes to the timeline, and we have a serious problem here. The timeline, basically they say, well, you have 2 years to stop toxic discharge. Well, no. Toxic discharge is simply illegal. Toxic discharge needs to stop. And it says toxic discharge needs to stop in areas near impaired water. Well, no. Toxic discharge by law has to stop everywhere, not just near impaired waterways. Toxic discharge must stop. In a statewide study of agricultural areas, you've seen this slide before. Pesticides were detected, pyrethroid pesticides, in 85% of the samples. 42% of the samples were at toxic levels. Anyone want to go for a swim in the Salinas River? I think not. Groundwater, we support the staff proposal. We recognize the reality that it's going to take a long time. In Monterey County, 25% of 352 wells sampled had concentrations above the nitrate standard. You've already heard this. We can't keep doing this to people. This is a direct quote from US EPA. Infants below the age of 6 months who drink water containing nitrates in excess of the drinking water standard could become seriously ill and, if untreated, may die. We must stop doing this. Stormwater, we think that the stormwater needs a little bit more work. One of the things that we would suggest to you is that stormwater is a place where you guys hold up the SIP program as kind of an opt-out, in other words, a great example. That's this Wine Growers Sustainable in Practice. We would suggest to you that's going to become the model for commodity groups to find a way out of monitoring, and which we want. We want people to work out of regulation. The issue is let's make sure that the model is a very, very good one, and especially with wine grapes, those rows are not necessarily oriented to the contour. They're oriented in different ways. Stormwater is a serious problem. Fallow fields are discharging into our rivers and our streams, and it must be dealt with. Aquatic life and riparian vegetation, we agree with the staff proposal. We are seeing huge areas. That beige area, that's where the Salinas River Channel has been bulldozed, perhaps done legally. But still, this is the kind of practice that needs to stop. Thank you. We do believe that there needs to be another piece to this whole thing. We would like to see an enforcement report or an enforcement plan come out with this entire package, and we see that lacking. So while there was recognition that the MRP was not included in the original packet, we also believe that there needs to be an enforcement plan that needs to be viewable by the public. We were surprised when we looked at some of the other proposals. There's the Farm Bureau proposal, and there's the Price Postal. Something as basic as toxicity, those words do not even appear in those proposals. And frankly, I find that absurd. Do we have any indications of trends? We're not the only ones that have heard over and over and over again from the Regional Water Quality Control Board that things are getting worse. Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary came out with a condition report. It was peer-reviewed. This is cut and pasted, and it says that basically it meets White House standards for peer review, and it shows that conditions are declining again. So that's it. Thank you so much. This is a long process. It's been going on for a year and a half. We'll continue for at least another 6 months, we anticipate. Frankly, I think that there is room for common ground. No one wants to see ag go away. We just simply need to stop the discharge and find ways to do it. We believe that the growers in the Salinas, Santa Maria areas are some of the most progressive growers in the world, and if faced with having to find ways to eliminate discharge, they can do it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.